The following program is recorded content created by the Truth Network.
Wake up, everyone. It's time for the Steve Noble Show, where biblical Christianity meets the everyday issues of life in your home, at work, and even in politics. Steve is an ordinary man who believes in an extraordinary God, and on his show, there's plenty of grace and lots of truth, but no sacred cows. Call Steve now at 866-34-TRUTH. That's 866-34-TRUTH. Or check him out online at thestevenobleshow.com. And now, here's your host, Steve Noble.
Yeah, sense of humor comes in handy these days. Welcome back. How are you? Hope you had a great weekend. This is Steve Noble, The Steve Noble Show, thestevenobleshow.com. You can go there and get the podcast. Wherever you get the podcast, you can get the podcast. And then we have other things there. You can look through all the previous shows. You can search through shows. So if you want to search by subject, you can do that. But wherever you get your podcasts, you can do that. You can watch us right here in the studio on Facebook Live. You can join us on YouTube Live. Both of them are under The Steve Noble Show, so just search that on those various platforms while we exist there until we get canceled. So how about this? Jesus wearing a vaccine saves T-shirt. So I'll talk about that. And then the UFO thing, we did a show not that long ago, and I just opened up the phones asking you, how do you explain kind of the UFO thing going on? Now they're called UAPs, Unidentified Aerial Phenomenon. So big report coming out to the U.S. Senate that Marco Rubio asked for last fall because they started to declassify everything surrounding unidentified flying objects. That's a fascinating topic to me anyway. And so you can hear from two F-18 pilots. One of them had been through the Top Gun training program out west. And so these people are no joke. It's a guy and a man and a woman. Both pilots and F-18s had a rather interesting experience off the southwest coast of the U.S., San Diego, about 100 miles out. That's fascinating. It's about 3 minutes. I want you to hear that. And then we're looking for trying to find a credible theologian that's done some work on the implications of UFOs. Is it just satanic activity? Well, I mean, we don't know, don't have anything in the Bible of satanic activity where they've actually made things. Right. So it's an interesting topic and definitely a curveball, but it'll be fascinating to see what happens next month when that comes out in the Senate. So we'll talk about that. And then a bunch of different COVID things. And because things are changing rapidly as places start to open up. So I want to talk about that. That's been an interesting. Did you experience that over the weekend? Going in different places, if you've been trying to be compliant and trying not to rock the boat, have you ventured in anywhere without your mask on? And was that a little freaky? Were you a little nervous? Were you a little concerned? So that's I had an experience at the post office just a little while ago before I came to the studio that I'll tell you about. But let me start with this because this is potentially a massive story. So the Supreme Court agrees to hear a major abortion case. This just broke this morning. The Supreme Court's set to hear a major abortion case that will give the justices an opportunity to reconsider the precedent set by the landmark Roe versus Wade case back in 73. The court on Monday announced in an order that it would take the case involving a Mississippi law passed in 2018 that bans abortions after 15 weeks with limited exceptions. The law was blocked by the Fifth U.S. Circuit Court of Appeals, as under existing precedent, states may not ban abortions before fetal viability, which is typically around 22 weeks or later. The case Dobbs versus Jackson Women's Health Organization, which is anything other than health, asked whether all pre-viability restrictions on abortion are unconstitutional. Mississippi is asking the justices to review the viability standard, arguing that the rule prevents states from defending maternal health and its interest in protecting life. Quote, it's well past time for the court to revisit the wisdom of the viability bright line rule, Mississippi Attorney General Lynn Fitch wrote in a brief filed with the Supreme Court justices. Jackson Women's Health Organization, an abortion clinic. See, like how they do that with the language? Sounds like a good place, doesn't it? Jackson Women's Health Organization. Yay, gals. Yay, women's health. Yay, killing babies. An abortion clinic in Mississippi asked the court not to take the case, of course. Quote, in an unbroken line of decisions over the last 50 years. That doesn't mean they were right, by the way. This court has held that the Constitution guarantees each person the right to decide whether to continue pre-viability pregnancy. Really? I thought the Constitution guaranteed a right to life. L-I-F-E. Not women's health. In this case, life. That being the life of the child. Hillary Schneller, an attorney for the clinic, wrote in a filing. Schneller claimed that the state argument was based on a misunderstanding of the core principle of earlier Supreme Court decisions. Quote, while the state has interest throughout pregnancy, before viability, the state's interests are not strong enough to support a prohibition on abortion. Right. Pursuit of happiness, the right to... the right to life. It will be the first abortion case to be argued before the Supreme Court since Justice Amy Coney Barrett was confirmed, creating a 6-3 conservative majority on the court. I would put a big asterisk next to that because John Roberts is no conservative, and he's proven that. In a statement on Monday, March for Life President Jean Mancini noted that the U.S. is only one of 7 countries, including China and North Korea, we're in good company, that allows abortions through all 9 months of pregnancy. Quote, an overwhelming majority of Americans agree that this goes way too far. In fact, 70% think abortion should be limited to, at most, the first 3 months of pregnancy, she said. States should be allowed to craft laws that are in line with both public opinion on this issue as well as basic human compassion instead of the extreme policy that Roe imposed, unquote. How about just the reality of it? How about just the scientific fact that that's a human life starting at conception? How about that? Or are you guys a bunch of science deniers, right? The court will hear the case in its term beginning in October. It's likely to reach a decision by June of next year. So when that happens, we'll be paying attention and just be praying ahead of that. I'll remind you as we get closer because that's a big deal. Shot across the bow of Roe versus Wade. Where to go next? Okay. So I go to the post office box almost every day. That's where I get the mail for the ministry. So for months, like a year, the post office locked down, right? You can't come in without a mask. There's a lot of pressure there. Everybody's masked up, 6 feet distance. They got the little X's on the floor, whatever. And so I went in there today without a mask. Now, I've been somebody that has chosen to wear one when I go into a store, an establishment that requires it. I didn't for a while, and I got tired of that battle and just decided I wasn't going to, for me as well as for my wife and one of our kids, it was like, you know what, we just don't want to walk around upset every day. So we decided to throw it on when we have to walk in a store that requires it. Okay, send me your hate email later, okay? That's our problem. Let's not divide over that. But I walked in there with a mask in my back pocket, wondering what was going to happen at the U.S. Post Office here in Raleigh, North Carolina. And I was surprised to see 50%, about half the people in there, didn't have a mask on. So obviously we could tell the Republicans from the Democrats, apparently. So we're going to talk about that, some other breaking COVID news, the UFO thing, when we come back. This is Steve Noble. Welcome back. It's Steve Noble. Happy. The happy song. Are you feeling happy? I was pretty happy today when I walked into the post office, thestevenobleshow.com. By the way, you can get the show wherever podcasts are. You can stream it on live, or you can join us right here in the studio via high-tech video in our Star Wars-themed studio. Just go to the Facebook Live page or the YouTube Live page under the Steve Noble Show. So I walked into the post office earlier today. 50% of visitors in there didn't have a mask on. It was shocking. I mean, it's basically 100%. And I go in there almost every day, because that's where I get the mail for the ministry, which including donations, which I'll talk to you on another day, because we're having a big, very important fundraiser on June 17th here in town in the area at our favorite restaurant, Prime Barbecue. So I'll give you more information about that later. So I'm in the post office a lot. I used to get my business mail in there. And for the last 14 months, really, since they started the mask mandate thing, I mean, people have been very compliant, big signs on the door, and I would almost never see somebody without a mask. But today it was 50%. So I was like, whoa, look at that. How interesting. And this is all setting up a nice ethical dilemma for some of us. And I'll get to that story in a second, because this one says, this story from Daily Wire, Starbucks, other retailers lift mask requirement for vaccinated customers. So how do they know if you got the vax? Interesting question. Okay. There was this, Trafalgar Group put out a poll. They had about 1,000 people nationwide. They split it correctly, Republican, Democrat, men, women, and by ethnicity, because it's interesting. African Americans are much more hesitant on the vaccine because of this country's history in abusing them in that regard. Tuskegee Airmen back in the day, that nightmare. And so that you have to look at the ethnicities because it differs on the vaccine thing. But the question that they asked, this is really interesting. When will you personally consider the COVID-19 pandemic over and go about life as usual? What will it take for you to demask yourself and go about life as usual? When will you personally consider the COVID-19 pandemic over and go about life as usual? Here's the different answers. There's five options. Number one, whenever the CDC, i.e. federal government, says it's over. That's number one. Number two, I believe it was serious, but it's already over. Like, because we have vax, herd immunity, whatever. Number three, when everyone has the opportunity to take the vaccine, which I would argue we're there already. Everybody has the opportunity. And like here in North Carolina, we have a surplus. And the amount of people getting vaccinated every day has slowed down. It's still pretty high. I think it's over a million a day, but it's slowed down. But we have surpluses here in North Carolina. Answer number four, I never took COVID seriously. Or number five, the always popular, I'm not sure. All right. So let's go back to number one. When will you personally consider the COVID-19 pandemic over and go about life as usual? Whenever the CDC federal government says it's over, 26.4% of respondents. So I think this is pretty accurate. 26.4% of the people in the country say, I'll believe it's over when the government tells me it's over. That's disturbing, or it should be. I believe it was serious, but it's already over. 25.7%. Almost a dead heat, okay? 26.4 says when the government tells me it is, 25.7, it's already over. Okay, we're past it for whatever reason. Vaccine, herd immunity, whatever. Way more people got it than we know because we only know the reported cases, asymptomatic spread, yada, yada, yada. When everyone has the opportunity to take the vaccine, 19.6%. I never took COVID seriously, 11.1%. That sounds about right to me. And then 17%, I'm not sure. So when everyone has the opportunity to take the vaccine, 19.6%, plus when the federal government says it's over, 26.4%, 26, 36, 45%, basically almost half the country, essentially says whenever the government says it's over and or everyone has an opportunity to take the vaccine. But it's that first number that we have 26% of our fellow Americans that reality for them is determined by what the federal government says. And that obviously is a problem, I'd like to think. Okay, what about those Neanderthals, as Biden called them? That was back in March. President Biden called it Neanderthal thinking when Texas lifted all their restrictions, lifted their mask mandates, and they're like, that's Neanderthal thinking, and everybody's assuming, everybody in that camp anyway, that Texas is going to turn into a bloodbath. Well, now we have this. Texas Governor Greg Abbott tweeted this out earlier today. Zero COVID-related deaths. The only time that's happened since data was tracked in March of 2020. So more than a year, and they hit zero. The fewest COVID cases in over 13 months, meaning in a day. The lowest 7-day COVID positivity rate ever in Texas. And the lowest COVID hospitalizations in 11 months in Texas. Thanks, Texans, said Governor Abbott, there in the great state of Texas. And Neanderthal thinking, apparently, Mr. President, worked. They opened. They allowed people to get back. Isn't that funny that we say that? They allowed people to get back to their lives. And then you get this. Now, are people in Texas getting vaccinated? Sure they are. But what happened to the conventional thinking, Pope Fauci? They open up. They take their masks off. People are going to die. Well, now Texas leads the country right now. That's what it looks like. Pretty amazing. Zero COVID-related deaths. And by the way, on all this stuff like this, I would call this really good news. And praise the Lord for it. I'm not denigrating that. I think it's awesome. Praise the Lord for that. But it is counterintuitive to the mass crowd, right? Speaking of President Biden, there's this. Biden's COVID warning, he just talked about this earlier today. Unvaccinated will end up paying the price, you unvaccinated people. President Biden highlighted on, and by the way, I'll say it before, I'll say it again, just in case it's the first time maybe you've tuned in or you watched on Facebook or YouTube, whatever, that I'm not judging anybody whether you get it or don't get it, because I think that's your choice, your body, your choice. That would make a good saying if it weren't already used by people that want to kill babies, but whatever, you do it, You do you, I'll do me. Okay, that's the deal. I'm not getting it anytime soon. My wife isn't getting it anytime soon. We're not allowing our 16-year-old daughter to get it because that's our decision. But for us, it's just too early because we have, what, 10 months of data? Usually these things, phase three trials for vaccinations, which, by the way, most vaccinations take 7 to 10 years before they hit the streets. This took 7 to 10 months, right, at most. But the most data we have is 10 months. So we don't know long-term impacts of COVID vaccination. Pfizer, Moderna, Johnson & Johnson, whatever else is coming up. We can't have more than 10 months of data. And for me, that's not enough. So you do what you want to do. We'll do what we want to do and whatever. So he's Biden highlighted on Monday that for the first time since coronavirus pandemic swept the nation, cases of COVID-19 are down in all 50 states. But in a pitch to encourage unvaccinated Americans to get their shots, the president warned that those who are not vaccinated will end up paying the price. Well, it's kind of our choice, isn't it, sir? And Biden, in remarks from the White House, also announced that the U.S. will share millions more doses of coronavirus vaccines with other countries around the world. My greatest fear, by the way, is that there's actually going to be a lot of negative long-term effects. And so by saying it, we a bunch of people running around saying, love your neighbor, try to get your neighbor to get vaccinated, there could be, we don't know this yet. You don't know it yet. You can't refute this. There could be long-term negative effects on these vaccines that we just aren't aware of yet because it's only been 10 months since we've been using them, starting with the trials and stuff, right? Does that make sense? The president highlighted that deaths are down from COVID by 81%, which he said was their lowest level since April of 2020. And I praise the Lord for that. I hope you do. So we'll finish up with Biden. Then we'll go to Starbucks and Walmart and Trader Joe's and Costco and the ethical dilemma for some of us. If they say you can come in and don't have to wear a mask if you've been vaccinated, but you haven't been vaccinated, do you lie? This is Steve Noble. We'll be right back. Welcome back. It's Steve Noble, the Steve Noble Show. Great to be with you. Happy Monday. Is that possible? Sure. This is the day the Lord has made. Let's rejoice and be glad in it. Talking about a couple of COVID things, then a little UFO action, and then we'll talk to our good buddy David Fisher in the fourth segment, talking about what's been going on in the market and stuff, and inflation, which is an increasing concern, which will affect all of us eventually. So that's why we need to continue to pay attention and monitor these things. But Biden speaking earlier today, but by the way, I think the picture I saw was accurate, which it has to be. Biden and Kamala Harris in the background, who's been in charge of border security or whatever for the last 55 days or so, still has yet to do a press conference and show up down there. A whole nother subject. Goodness gracious. I mean, if you're upset about the border and everything going on there, I mean, my question for you and for me is, do we ever pray about it? Do we ever pray about this stuff or just yell and post? Right? Let's make sure we're praying about these things. But Biden earlier, he and Kamala both maskless. Oh, my goodness. He cautioned that I can't promise that it will continue this way, meaning COVID cases are down 81%. We know there will be advances and setbacks, and we know that many flare-ups could occur. But if the unvaccinated get vaccinated, see, that's subtle, huh? But if the unvaccinated get vaccinated, they'll protect themselves and other unvaccinated people around them. Really? If the vaccine, even one shot of the vaccine is supposed to be like 80% effective, right? What are you talking about, sir? And the president warned that if they do not, states with low vaccination rates may see those rates, may see this progress reverse. So now we know who to blame. Ultimately, those who are not vaccinated will end up paying the price. The vaccinated will continue to be protected against severe illness, but others may not if you're not vaccinated. So that pressure is going to continue. And they're going to ramp that up, by the way, because progress on vaccines is slowing down. I think the numbers recently, 47% of American adults are fully vaccinated. 60% have gotten at least one dose. And now the Pfizer one, I think their FDA is approving it for 12 to 15-year-olds, 12 to 17-year-olds. If you've got a 12-year-old, unless they have major comorbidities, why are you doing that? Do you know the numbers? 0.000006% chance of death, 1 to 17. I'll say that again, and I'm counting. If you're on Facebook Live or YouTube Live, you can see me putting my fingers up. 0.000000, that's five zeros, 6.000006% chance of dying. For youngsters. So why are we injecting them with an experimental vaccine that we only have 10 months worth of data on? And hardly any data on kids. I don't get that. Okay, Starbucks, other retailers lift mask requirements for vaccinated customers. Well, how are they going to know you're vaxxed, right? So this brings up a little ethical dilemma, perhaps for some of us. I'm going to do a show on this later this week. Starbucks, Walmart and several other retailers announced over the weekend that they will no longer require face masks for vaccinated customers. The coffee giant wrote that facial coverings will be optional for vaccinated customers beginning Monday, May 17th, that's today, unless local regulations require them by law. Other major retailers, including Walmart, Trader Joe's, and Costco, announced similarly updated guidance over the weekend. Beginning today, vaccinated customers and members are welcome to shop without a mask, and we will continue to request that non-vaccinated customers and members wear face coverings in our stores and clubs, Walmart said in a letter. However, face masks will continue to be required by some city and state ordinances, and we will follow those requirements, Walmart said. But most states and cities are lifting those now. Trader Joe's announced last Friday that vaccinated customers may shop without a mask, but employees are still required to wear masks. Quote, we encourage customers to follow the guidance of health officials, including, as appropriate, CDC guidelines that advise customers who are fully vaccinated are not required to wear masks while shopping. You see the problem here? Costco, one of the first stores to require shoppers to wear masks, announced that vaccinated shoppers may go maskless in Costco locations where there is no state or local government mask mandate. Quote, we will not require proof of vaccination, but we ask for members' responsible and respectful cooperation with this revised policy, Costco wrote. Face coverings will still be required in healthcare settings, including pharmacy, optical, hearing aid. Costco continued to recommend that all members and guests, especially those who are at higher risk, wear a mask or shield. So, if you've been wearing your mask when you go into stores and all of a sudden you show up and the sign says at Costco, Starbucks, whatever, that if you've been vaccinated, you no longer have to wear a mask. Do you take your mask off and walk in, even if you haven't been vaccinated? Or does it come down to, well, if they don't ask me, I'm not really lying. See the problem there? Maybe it's not a problem for you. I'm going to open up the phones. We'll do a whole show on this because I'm really interested to see how people are going to wrestle with this ethically. For me personally, if that's the case, I will wrestle with that a little bit. I'm going to be like, am I misrepresenting the truth by walking in here without my mask on? Because I've been complying with that for a while now. So all of a sudden, I'm going to take advantage of the fact that they're not enforcing a rule that they can enforce. No vaccine passports. They're not checking people at the door, at least not yet. So, but if all of a sudden there's a spike, we'll see what happens. But does that cause you any kind of consternation, right? Okay, so the UFO thing. We did a show on this last year sometime and opened the phones up. We're starting to look for a credible theologian that would be a good guest to come on and talk about the implications, theological implications and otherwise, of the whole UFO thing. But the U.S. government is starting to put a lot more information out there. And so on 60 Minutes, now just go, oh, stick 60 Minutes, Steve. I mean, okay, I'm going to play a clip for you, a video. You'll see it on YouTube Live or Facebook Live. Of two former Navy F-18 pilots. One of them, the guy, had been through the Top Gun training. These are not, you know, these are not just simple-minded, wacky people. These are F-18 pilots, some of our nation's best. And there's reports out now that should definitely get your attention. So forget the fact that it's 60 Minutes, okay? You just got to read and listen to what's actually being presented. So this is fascinating. And once we get the right guest on, we're going to do a show on it. But are you ready for this, Seth? Can we play this video? Let's get ready to rock and roll on this. You'll hear the audio, which is really what you need to hear. But let's go. Let's play it when you're ready.
The government has ignored it, at least publicly.
This is the 60 Minutes guy, okay?
Blue Book investigation in 1969.
And he's talking to two former pilots.
After an incident off Southern California in 2004. Which was documented by radar, by camera, and four naval aviators. We spoke to two of them. David Fravor, a graduate of the Top Gun Naval Flight School and commander of the F-18 squadron on the USS Nimitz, and flying at his wing, Lieutenant Alex Dietrich, who has never spoken publicly about the encounter.
I never wanted to be on national TV. No offense.
So why are you doing this?
Because I was in a government aircraft, because I was on the clock, and so I feel a responsibility to share what I can, and it is unclassified.
It was November 2004, and the USS Nimitz Carrier Strike Group was training about 100 miles southwest of San Diego. For a week, the advanced new radar on a nearby ship, the USS Princeton, had detected what operators called multiple anomalous aerial vehicles over the horizon, descending 80,000 feet in less than a second.
Whoa.
On November 14th, Fravor and Dietrich, each with a weapons system officer in the back seat, were diverted to investigate. They found an area of roiling white water the size of a 737 in an otherwise calm blue sea.
So, as we're looking at this, her backseater says, "Hey, Skipper, do you?" And about that got out, I said, "Dude, do you see that thing down there?" And we saw this little white tic-tac-looking object, and it's just kind of moving above the whitewater area.
As Dietrich circled above, Fravor went in for a closer look.
So you're sort of spiraling down?
Yep. The tic-tac's still pointing north-south. It goes, and just turns abruptly and starts mirroring me. So as I'm coming down, it starts coming up.
So it's mimicking your moves.
Yeah, it was aware we were there.
He said it was about the size of his F-18, with no markings, no wings, no exhaust plumes.
I want to see how close I can get. So I go like this, and it's climbing still. And when it gets right in front of me, it just disappears.
Disappears?
Disappears. Like gone.
It had sped off.
What are you thinking?
So your mind tries to make sense of it. I'm going to categorize this as maybe a helicopter or maybe a drone. And when it disappeared, I mean, it was just...
Did your backseaters see this too?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. There was four of us in the airplanes literally watching this thing for roughly about 5 minutes.
Seconds later, the Princeton reacquired the target, 60 miles away. Another crew managed to briefly lock onto it with a targeting camera before it zipped off again.
You know, I think that over beers we've sort of said, hey, man, if I saw this solo, I don't know that I would have come back and said anything because it sounds so crazy when I say it.
You understand that reaction?
I do. We've had some people tell me, you know, when you say that, you can sound crazy. And I'll be honest, I'm not a UFO guy.
But from what I hear you guys saying, there's something.
Yes.
Oh, there's definitely something that, I don't know who's building it, who's got the technology, who's got the brains, but there's something out there that was better than our airplane.
Pretty fascinating stuff. Rubio, Senator Rubio, called for an investigation. That report's going to be presented in the Senate next month. Man, fascinating. John Ratcliffe, who used to be former director of National Intelligence, frankly, there are a lot more sightings than have been made public, he said recently. Wild stuff. We'll be right back. Welcome back. It's Steve Noble, the Steve Noble Show. Great to be with you. Lots of things happening on the financial front that we need to continue to be aware of and see what's going on, what's trying to understand what's happening, what's coming our way so that we can be good stewards. If you look back 6 months, you go kind of up, up, up. That looks good. And then some interesting things happening last week. Inflation on the rise. Stocks are down a little bit today. But we need help to understand these things. It can be very complicated. Most of us are not financial experts. Some of us are. And one of us, a brother in Christ, has been very helpful for several years now on the show. We just praise God for that. Is our good friend David Fisher from Landmark Capital, landmarkgold.com. As always, David, how are you?
I'm doing great, Steve. Thanks for having me on your program, as always, my brother.
As always, great to hear your voice every single week. And when we do our Money Monday updates, we'll, like, for example, everybody, we're going to be doing the first Monday of the month, we do a full Money Monday show, all four segments. We're not going to do that on Memorial Day. We'll push it a week. So that'll be like, what is that, June 7th or something like that. So we'll do a full Money Monday then. But when we do our updates, which is the Mondays subsequent to that, we always start with a passage of Scripture. This is another great one, Acts chapter 1, verse 8. We'll start there, and then we'll talk about some of the big headlines out there.
It says this, "But you shall receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you, and you shall be my witnesses, both in Jerusalem and all Judea and Samaria, and even to the remotest part of the earth." Mm-hmm. So, you know, I don't think it's just an event, but rather, in addition to that, it's a lifestyle. And that we, you know, the scripture says work out your salvation with fear and trembling. That's a lifestyle. So I believe, you know, being empowered by the Holy Spirit is a lifestyle event that is ongoing. Just like if you had, I don't have an electric car, but if I had one, I don't think I would just plug it in one time or plug it in only for 5 minutes and say, I got enough power for all the rest of the day. I don't know how long it takes to charge a car, but I think it would probably be longer than 5 minutes if you're going to make a 100-mile journey.
Yeah.
So the longer, not that we have to spend hours and hours in the presence of the Lord, but it's important that we focus and we have our time so that we get plugged in, so we can go the distance. Every day I want to encourage everybody to get plugged into the Lord so that we can have wisdom, knowledge, creative juices. In fact, for me, some of the best creative ideas come to me shortly after I've had my time with the Lord.
Yeah.
It's usually in the morning, and within about an hour or so, it's like this idea comes or this thought comes. So how does that happen? So we can be his witnesses in our immediate circle of influence and even to the endless most four corners of the world that we just need to get plugged in.
Yeah, which is the most important thing we can offer the world, which is the good news of the gospel. And you need to plug in. You need to get full of the Spirit each day. And you will receive power through the Holy Spirit. That's just part of the deal. And but yeah, you got to start your day that way. What are you starting your day on? What kind of foundation other than coffee are you actually placing your day on? And for me, David, I mean, that's I write a devotional 5 days a week most of the time.
Yeah.
And one of the reasons I do it is it keeps me in the Word. I know there's a few thousand people that are expecting it. And that's been a good accountability thing for me, but to get me into the Word first thing in the day, which really helps get your compass set on true north, which then affects everything else that you do through the day, especially sharing the gospel. It's such a great point. And thank you for leading us that way as you do each week when we do an update. So the markets are down a little bit today. Anything major going on there? What's happening in the markets recently?
Well, it's kind of bleed over, Steve. The European stocks dipped the start of while we were sleeping in And so did the Asian stocks. In fact, the Japanese stocks have fallen 4 out of 5 days. Why? Fears of inflation is what this is all about again. And gold touched a 3-month high. So this week is going to be relatively a quiet week. Although on Tuesday, Wednesday, and Thursday, Federal Reserve presidents, three of them from Atlanta, St. Louis, and Dallas, are all going to be speaking.
Whoa.
And I'm going to expect their narrative to be saying we don't have any inflation. So that's the narrative that's been said by the Fed. But the NASDAQ has lost 3 out of 4 last weeks. It's all because of inflation, and Deutsche Bank came out and said that there's likely to be an equity correction from the current peak that we're experiencing. All because inflation.
Yeah, so the Feds are basically politicians. It's important to remember that they're very political. And so you should always put an asterisk next to what they're saying. So they're saying it's not inflation. That's what you're expecting them to say this Thursday. So that's pretty amazing that all three of them are going to come out and kind of take the same line. But what's Wall Street saying about inflation? Like last week, what's Wall Street saying about this little I word that keeps coming up?
Well, obviously they're embracing the idea because Wall Street is down this today. Goldman Sachs came out and warned of substantial surge in home prices because of inflationary pressure. In fact, they said that the bubble could be bigger now than 2007. That's
wow.
A scary thought to think of.
Yeah.
That.
Yeah,
Bank of America, 3 months ago, they talked about inflation, hyperinflation. Now they're using the word transitory hyperinflation. So who knows? But the market is looking as we could have hot inflation. Mike Wilson, Chief Investment Officer of Morgan Stanley, says he only sees a 1.2% rise to the upside for the S&P 500 between now at the end of the year. And why? Inflation.
Inflation. Wow. So what does inflation do? Like credit cards, most people have credit cards, and they tend to tie their rate to what's going on with the bank rates, but also inflation as well. So what will happen to credit cards? And then, of course, there's the government credit card, their money printing operation and all the debt that the government's acquiring at unbelievable breakneck paces.
Well, Wall Street does see inflation coming, and there's been a good thing that has happened. You know, you and I have talked about this before, about paying down your credit card debt, making sure everybody does that, who hear our voice. For the last 5 quarters, Americans have paid down $157 billion of credit card balance. Wall Street is responding now to that, because that's not good for Wall Street banks. So Wall Street sees inflation coming, and they want to capture more people to use their credit card, so they're coming up with a new program. This is sad to even say this, but this is what they're doing. Wall Street Journal said J.P. Morgan, Wells Fargo, U.S. Bank Corp., and a few others are extending credit to people who have never had a credit card before.
Oh boy.
And what they're using is not your FICO score, what they're supposed to use. They're just looking into your checking and savings account to see you have money. And those are the people that more than likely are going to qualify for this credit card that's coming out by those big banks.
Oh,
so
goodness.
The banks are hurting for revenue, it looks like. Of course, the government's hurting for revenue. They just reported the spending report for the last 7 months. We spent $4.1 trillion. We only took in $2.1 trillion. That means we're spending 90% more than we collected. That's a sad number.
Wow, just unbelievable. Yeah, and those banks with those credit cards, I think we could safely call that predatory lending. And they look at your bank account, because I've been down that road before, and all they really care is, can they get you to keep paying the minimum payment for the rest of your life? Because they get you hooked on it, and then you're done. That's just unbelievable that they're doing that. And obviously, they're not thinking about the effect on anybody else. But just like the Bible says, the borrower is slave to the lender. And that's exactly what happens. So that's, are you surprised, David, that these last several months, $157 billion was paid down in credit card debt? Because obviously, last year, people couldn't go out and spend as easily.
Well, I think some of it came from COVID support.
Right.
And, you know, that's good that people didn't go out and spend it. They bought down their debt. And that's just a really good sign that maybe a portion of Americans are actually waking up and understanding that debt is slavery.
Yeah, it's exactly right. And you definitely know that when you're in it. What about just like debt in general and gold and silver in general, given the conditions that we're in and what looks like a lackadaisical market perhaps for the rest of the year, the inflation concerns? How do we kind of look at that just from a 30,000-foot view, debt and gold and silver?
Well, obviously, debt is unmanageable, and now we're really seeing the lights of that, where we've exacerbated that. J.P. Morgan came out, and in the space of commodities, they wrote a research paper last week, and they said that if inflation continues to surprise us to the upside, commodities will be a very useful tool for investors to hedge. In other words, let me interpret it. They're looking at the 70s again. Inflation happened. Gold averaged 31% per year for 9 years. Silver went from $1.50 to $50.
Jeez.
And if we have some movement upward in inflation, which we are going to, completely going to, there's other reports we don't have time to go over, inflation will come, and you got to hedge yourself against that. And J.P. Morgan, their report is saying gold is a great investment to hedge against what is coming.
Yeah, so just a little 101 here. When you say hedge, we use that word a lot. For the average person that might not fully understand what that is, what is a hedge? Gold as a hedge, what does that mean?
Well, let's use your teeter-totter as an example. You got paper money on one side. You got gold or silver on the other side. When the teeter-totter goes down in paper because it buys less for your money because they inflate it or they devalue the dollar, gold and silver goes up. So you got to have something on the other side of the teeter-totter. Really good example, a $20 bill, $20 gold coin in the 20s when our currency was backed by gold, bought a brand new man's suit. Today, a $20 bill will not even buy a tie, but a $20 gold coin in its liquid value is worth around $2,000.
Wow.
Put the money in your bank, go buy a suit, and you can take your wife out to dinner and still have money left over. The moral of the story, paper money will devalue, gold will hedge.
Wow, what a great way of describing it. For people that want to get more information, David, what do you suggest to them?
Give us a call. We got an investment packet. You can get your questions answered, 844-604-2575, 844-604-2575, or our website, landmarkgold.com.
In this topic, any other topic, always a big proponent of education, which we're always trying to push here on the show. Get educated, be it this topic or any other topic. David, God bless you, my brother. Thanks as always. We'll talk to you again real soon.
Sounds good, my brother. Bye.
All right, man. Bye-bye. This is Steve Noble on The Steve Noble Show. God willing, I'll talk to you again real soon. And like my dad always used to say, ever forward.
Another program powered by the Truth Network.